Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
We are on the line with WTTS Radio. Can you hear me? Got him?
Hey, buddy. Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay.
Hey. Yeah. How are you?
All right.
Well,
I'm a fun old fella. Ain't no sense of me complaining because don't nobody listen.
I'm going to go ahead and just set this up here, and we'll roll this thing. And with Buddy Guy, legendary blues. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think I'm hearing a little bit of an echo still. It might be a little tougher. Buddy, do you hear an echo on your end?
I hear him pretty good so far. I'll complain if I can't get in.
Okay. All right.
I don't hear that well either, so I have to. I'll try to balance that out and get rid of that echo. Anyway, I'm with Buddy Guy, legendary blues man, coming to the IU Auditorium and still on the road at age 80, right, Buddy?
Yep.
Yep. And he's been a major. He's been a major influence to Jimi Hendrix, a mentor and close friend to Eric Clapton and Stevie Ray Vaughan. Buddy has 7 Grammys, 23 WC Handys, and is a member of the Rock Hall of Fame. And Buddy, you're up early, but I read that you always are up with the chickens, right?
Still do, man. You know, I don't have chickens no more, but I can hear the rooster crow in my pastime. That's what we never did to work by a clock when I came up on the farm in Louisiana. We always worked by the sun up and sun down.
How has that been compatible with being a late night blues man? You like to get up early, but I would imagine the blues keeps you out pretty late at night.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not as bad as it used to be. When I went to Chicago this year, it'd be 60 years ago, all the blues clubs was, of course, we wasn't traveling around the world then. You know, we were just locally playing Chicago, and then the club was 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning. So, actually, we used to go play, man. We had all the steel mills and a lot of jobs were still here. Then technology had moved in, which I don't want to get into that, but your politicians now is promising you jobs and claiming our jobs are going from here to there. But technology then took more jobs than other countries, if you double-check. But anyway, we was in Chicago in the club, blues clubs. We had 24/7 jobs. People was getting off at midnight. People was getting off at 8 o'clock in the morning. And we used to start playing blues at 7 o'clock on Monday morning. You couldn't get in the joint.
Man.
So, I was trying to get rid of that rooster crowing at 4:30 in the morning. And it's just been sticking with me, man, ever since I left the farm. And please be me, this time of year, especially when the spring come, people ask me, was I listening to the birds sing at 4:30, 4:45 in the morning? Reading, I tried to learn how to sing because they sing so beautiful during the spring when they get ready to raise their little families, you know. So I still like to get up and go out there for all the automobiles, crank up and give you all the bads. Inhaling and whatever they leave for you to breathe down. So I get something out this morning. I was up before 4 o'clock.
Wow.
Even though I'm not out there driving, I'm in Dallas now. So, but when I'm home, if I got to go to the grocery store, I just get up and make me a drive or walk before I go to the grocery store.
I understand that you're good in the kitchen, and also that I'm guessing that since you're a farm guy, and from what I've read, that you're kind of a non-GMO guy. You don't like people tinkering with the chemistry of your food, right?
No, because I give an example, man. You said my parent had to raise almost everything we ate. I didn't know what running water was in Louisiana until I was about 16, 17 years old, man. And we used to raise sweet potatoes, and the sweet potato was so sweet you'd have never had to put sugar on it. Now you go get one, if you don't put sugar on it, it's not sweet. And then we'd had the watermelons and things like that. They would taste like sugar. Now if you eat the center, then they got it. Now there's no seeds in it. I was go to the store, and most of the grocery stores I go to, some of the people know me now, and a lady looked at me, and I was asking about it. She said, why you want a watermelon with the seeds? I said, because the world with no seeds in it, the man and planted something in the ground and make it not, do not have seeds. And if you don't know that, they won't tell you that.
What's something you've cooked up in the kitchen recently?
Well, I've been out here now all year long. When I'm home, man, I still like the old boil stuff, man. You know, I was raised up on boiled beans and everything that you just boil. My parents, it was five children, and they couldn't kill a chicken. It wasn't no, we go to the store and buy a chicken. We had to get the chicken off the yard, and there wasn't no such thing as salmonella, none of that shit, man, that you hear now that you got to wash your hand. We didn't even have water to wash your fucking hand after we killed the chicken, man. So this is something new that the chicken is getting now that they didn't have that we'd go in the yard and get. But we'd had to smother the chicken with rice and gravy. We had to boil the red beans and rice till it make a starch, and you put it in, and you had a great meal with a little piece of pork or whatever kind of meat you could afford to put in the beans. And that's what I'm still in love with right now. When I'm on the road right now, I say, hey, man, don't even let me pass by a hamburger place, because that's all you can get now is something fast.
Mm-hmm.
Hamburger or you know, something fast that day, the hot dogs and stuff. I didn't know what that was until I was 17, 18, 20, went into Baton Rouge. I didn't know hot dogs where I come from.
Hey, now, blues, let me talk to you about the blues for just a second here. I just want to ask you, things have changed a lot in your life, and it happens to every musician that has success. Can you be in love, have money, and have some of the good things in life and still feel the blues?
Well, I'm just speaking for myself now. Hell yeah, because I grew up with it, but my children didn't grow up with it. I don't know if you got children. If they don't grow up with it, I can't explain to my grandkids now, sir, that if I went home this afternoon when I was 10 years old when my mother had them cooked a white potato, and if I couldn't tell her I didn't want that. I could tell her, but she would say, well, get you a glass of water and go to bed. There wasn't nothing else to eat.
Yeah.
Now, if you tell a kid that now, they'll say, well, I need to call the police because you starving me. You got to go get me something.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't explain that to a kid now, you know. But my kids now, they would listen to me and they say, Daddy, how did y'all survive? I say, I don't know. Matter of fact, let me make a long story short. All of my kids are grown with grandkids now. I took them out there before they had grandkids, and when the grandkids first came, got old enough to see, they said, I want to go out there while you was born, that granddad. And on a Christmas day, man, it's got to be 20 years ago, we're right at it. I took the grandkids out there, and I stopped the car, three cars, and got out the car and held up my hand. And my daughter said, what'd you see? I said, that's exactly what I wanted you to know, nothing. You know, on a Christmas day, you know, and they said,
yeah.
And they finally saw a little dog, and that's the only thing we saw moving out there. So it was that time then, and it's a different time now. You know, you can drive down the street, and matter of fact, one of the young, the grandkids said, Granddaddy, I want to see what a big bull look like. I said, just hold on, I'm driving, and finally we got to the pass, and that was the big bull. And then he said, I could use a hamburger. I said, I'm glad you asked me that, because I'm going to take you back over there and show you what you have to do to get a hamburger here.
Oh.
You have to go in there, kill that big bull, grind him up, and pick him up and make your own shit in a hamburger. In other words, ain't no such thing as a hamburger.
Back to the music here for just a second, and I want to hear more about some good stories in the past. But if all these guys like Clapton and Jeff Beck and Keith Richards and Stevie Ray learned the blues from you, buddy, where did you learn the blues?
Oh, man, that stands out like a sore thumb, man. B.B. King, Lightning Hopkins, T-Bone Walker, and Muddy Waters, them. You know, they're the ones who spent their lives playing for the love of music, not the love of money. You know, B.B. hung around longer than any of them, and this made it 12 or 13. He'd been gone 2 years. So we got all of that from them, and I got chance to hang out with them. And they would tell me, man, we wasn't making no money, but they still ain't making no money. We just make enough money to make it from one town to another one. But they didn't give up on it. They did what they was loved doing, and they dedicated their life to it. I got into that. I said, well, man, if y'all can afford to do that and love it, I love it as well as you. And that's why I guess I'm still here.
You mentioned in your book there was a particular song you heard as a kid that had a big influence on you. What was that?
It must have been Johnny Hooker's Book of Chillin'.
Yep.
because that's the first thing I learned how to play. And you know, we didn't have radio and stuff like that, and we finally picked enough cotton. My daddy got a old phonograph, and that's when John Lee Hooker was on the chopper to text him and Smokey Hog, which is Good Morning Little School Guard. Then the Chess Records started coming out there with Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, and Little Walter. And I'm like saying, man, this is what I want to do right here, you know. And I didn't look at it and say, man, if I could learn it well enough, I could get paid. I just wanted to learn it well enough so I could play it.
And tell me about your first guitar.
Well, my first guitar, my dad finally got it. He used to go get him every Christmas to come through early Christmas morning, earlier than what you're talking to me now. And they would come to my mom and dad's house and drink up the gallon of beer, go to the next house on a plantation, which wasn't that many houses. And by the end of the day, all of them was drunk, and I would go pick up his guitar. And so finally my dad sawed enough logs with a cross gut saw, if you know what I'm talking about, what the power saws. And he got $2 for that guitar with two strings on it. And I finally finished grade school out there, going to school in a church, and went to Baton Rouge. The strangest walked by one evening and saw me sitting on my sister's porch in Baton Rouge with that two strings. And he said, son, I see you all the time. He'll say, I bet if you had a guitar, you'd learn how to play. I said, I imagine I would. And he said, you sit here every day? I said, yeah. And he come by that Friday evening and said, let's go. And I followed him. He went downtown and bought me a harmony guitar.
Mm.
And I come back, and my sister come in working from LSU that evening and said, what, this is a country boy with a country guitar? And the guy had a quarter beer. And he said, let's go back out there to my daddy's house, which is about 60 miles out in the country, northern Louisiana. And I walked in the door, and my dad looked at me with the guitar, and that guy was there, and he looked at the guy, and he said, "Not your name, Mitchell." He said, "Yeah, they had grown up together as little boys."
What was your first record? Do you remember what the first record was you bought? It was a 78, right?
It was 45 then, but they had a 45, 78. That's the only thing they had. 1958.
Do you remember what the first one was you bought?
Yes, Sit and Cry and Sing the Blues.
All right.
For Cobra Records. That's his record company, was Otis Royce and Magic Sam. Magic Sam is the one taking me to the company.
You got a show coming up here at IU Auditorium, and buddy, you're known for your showmanship as well as your playing. Where did you learn how to, your showmanship, where did you learn how to put on a good show?
I got that from a guitar player. Made one big record even before Ray Charles got famous, man, Guitar Slam. Ray Charles was producing and backing him up in New Orleans, and a lot of great musicians was playing around New Orleans, like Buddy Them was playing in Chicago. And then actually B.B. King had never played in Chicago when I got there, September 25th, 1957. B.B. came around 58 or 59. And they didn't. They just stayed around New Orleans instead. That Guitar Slim, Fats Domino, or Fats come out of there doing the television outbreak with Ed Sullivan and American Bandstand, and then Muddy Waters. Them, they didn't make it there, but they stayed in Chicago and kept playing. And Chess kept getting hit records out of Little Walter, Sonny Boy, Howlin' Wolf, and people like that. And Guitar Slim was there in New Orleans with Ray Charles back making records for them, things I used to do. And I finally saw him, and he walked in the door playing with a 100-foot lead wire. And I say, I want to play like B.B. King, but I want to act like Guitar Slim.
Great. Now, you've got the Legends Club there in Chicago. I guess that's a pretty good place to go, huh? I haven't been.
Well, if you look at that, you got to look at it like we started talking earlier about the guys are no longer with us, man. Do you know, if you had been talking to me 35, 40 years ago, they had blues clubs all down here in the Dallas, all in Canada, all in New York. And wherever you went, you had a little blues club while a beginner could be heard. They all disappeared now with the DUI and non-smoking. And do you know how many blues clubs was in Chicago When I first went there, I didn't even think about owning the Blues. Well, still probably wouldn't be, but they all start disappearing. Now you go to Chicago, I don't even think you got five Blues clubs there now if I close mine up.
Who are you seeing? I wanted to talk just quickly. I know we got to get off here, but just real quickly, who do you see coming through the club? I'm just concerned about the future of the Blues. Because, you know, some of these other guys, you know, Clapton's getting up there in his 70s as well, and some of the other Blues guys. Robert Cray is still younger, but who do you see coming up that's going to carry the torch?
You haven't heard about the one I discovered was 7 years old named Quinn Sullivan?
No.
Oh, man, you got to, as soon as you hang up with me, pick up your phone and look up Quinn Sullivan on the, what do you call that, is that the YouTube or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Watch him at 7 years old. Yeah, because he just played. I took him, matter of fact, I can give you this. At the last Crossroads, Eric Clapton was doing at the in New York City. And he looked at me, and, you know, he'd be looking for all us older guys to come on, and I brought Quinn out, and him and Jeff Beck and whoever was standing there, and when Quinn hit his first three licks, all Eric did was look at me and say, why'd you find him? And I took him to India and down in Brazil, and, man, they loved him to death, but it's not easy for him to get through now because they don't even want to play his music. As long as you're playing the blues, you don't get airplay like we used to. When we had AM station, they used to play all kind of music, man. You could hear a good gospel, and that's before they started calling it rock and roll. You could hear a good rhythm and blues, which was B.B. King, Louis Jordan, all us was rhythm and blues players. But now if you ain't got satellite radio, you won't hardly hear Quinn Sullivan playing the blues on your big FM stations. Why is that? Maybe you can help me find out why they don't play it no more. I don't know.
I don't know either. You know, there's a lot of other outlets, like you mentioned, YouTube, and I'll definitely look this guy up and check him out.
Remember that name?
Sullivan.
Just punch up Quinn Sullivan and you see what I'm talking about.
All right. I will, man. And we'll see you here at IU Auditorium. I believe the show is in May, and is it? Let me ask you this, buddy. Is it a one-man show?
You know, they don't ever tell me that. They just tell me get ready.
Okay. I guess that's part of it.
I just get ready and get on the bus or the airplane, call them where I got to go be playing before I get there and head there. When I get there, whatever. There to help me with, I appreciate it, and whoever else on the show is always welcome.
Well, buddy, thanks so much for talking to me. It's just a real pleasure, real pleasure. And we'll look forward to seeing you here then in a couple of months.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for calling. And whatever help you can do me with the blues, we appreciate it.
All right. Fair enough. Hey, thanks, man. Great talking to you.
Thank you. Same here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.